guys. Welcome to
the brand new podcast, Young and in Love.
This
is the podcast, Young and in Love. Hello, young lovers, and welcome to another episode of Young and in Love.
Young and in Love.
Again, I'm Josh.
And I'm Taylor.
We're the Andersons. And this is Young and in Love. Young and in Love. This is Young and in Love. Welcome back to another episode of Young and in Love. I'm Josh.
And I'm Taylor. And we're sick.
Everybody's sick.
Yeah, but it's my fault.
Taylor started her new job at the kindergarten development center that she's working at now, and immediately got sick from the kids. The first week of daycare, we were thrown into true daycare life. So
had to start taking our vitamins again, pumping the zinc and the vitamin C and the multivitamin, and hope that after this cold that we'll be spared for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't start cycling around like they always tell us it does. But that's what we're getting over in our life. Today we're going to talk about a couple things that we saw over the week. I have a poem that I was really touched by. I like poems. I think they're nice reminders of the simple things in life, things to focus on, and every time I read them I have the same reaction I had the first time I read them. So I like to keep just a little pocket of poems ready to go. Taylor, did you prepare something as well?
Oh shoot, was I supposed to?
I asked you to, but I guess you didn't.
I thought about stuff because you said the poem was about embracing the moment, so I was thinking about how I try to embrace the moment, like in our life, in our relationship. But honestly, with today's work schedule, that's all I had time for.
Yeah,
it was sort of crazy.
But we also filled out like a little cute quiz, so we'll probably go over those answers too because we haven't talked about them yet. Taylor smoked me. Did you see the results?
I did. I looked at them.
So we'll go over it. You guys will get to argue on who knows who better. Does Taylor know herself better than Josh knows her? That's the debate that'll come today. But to start, my phone's dying. That's okay. I want to start with the poem. It's about motherhood, but it's from a poet from New Zealand, a writer and a poet who lives in New Zealand. Her name is Jessica Urlichs. Urlichs. She lives in New Zealand with her husband and two children. She's the author of three poetry books on early motherhood. This poem is from her book, From One Mom to a Mother. She's also the author of a children's picture book on emotions called The Rainbow in My Heart. Jess's love for writing continues through the lovely community on Instagram and Facebook of other like-minded mothers who are here for the messy and beautiful truth of motherhood. And you can visit her website. Taylor hasn't heard this poem yet, so I'm going to read it, and then you can just chime right in whenever you're ready with your thoughts. So she says, it's called Dear Husband, The Future Can Wait. Dear husband, there's a life in the future with little faces and photo frames instead of before our eyes, and our work and ABC magnets won't adorn our fridge. There's a bed big enough where little elbows and knees won't prod us in our sleep, and only our feet will swing out in the morning. There's a vase placed in reach of little arms because there aren't any, and mugs will daringly sit on the edge of the table. There's a free calendar that isn't packed with swimming lessons, dance classes, and muddy sports shoes, and we'll get to know each other for a third time, before them, with them, and then when only two jackets hang at the door. There's a clean car. The only noise is the hum of the radio. There will be no endless questions and a high-pitched voice from the back seat. There may even be days we don't hear from them at all. There's a date night with no curfew. My mom's not needed for babysitting, and we aren't sleeping with one eye open, waiting for the shuffle of feet down the hallway, a type of freedom that feels heavy. There's a dinner table that feels big. We aren't negotiating bites of vegetables or wiping little hands and mouths, but sometimes there's a knock on the door and the table is full once more. There's a shower that doesn't sound like baby cries, a coffee that is warm, and my body will be my own. We won't wear tired the same way, but time will have aged us anyway. There will be hard moments to come that will make these moments look easy, but we'll remember. There's a life in the future, and it's coming for us. So let's get swept up in the beautiful chaos in front of us. Let's make the future wait a little longer, because I love this life with you so much, this one right now.
I'm teary-eyed. I'll have to blow my nose. Hold on.
I liked it.
It's a good one, huh?
Yeah, that made me really sad. And at the same time, sort of irritated with myself.
Irritated?
Yeah.
For what?
Well, sad, because obviously I love our children, and I don't want them to leave, ever. Well, I'm sure sometimes I do want them to leave, but it's sad thinking about the future when they're not here. But at the same time, like, we have so much fun together. So I know we're going to have fun. But still, man. Woof. Sad. Anyways, but made me frustrated because I was talking about all the, like, inconveniences, or quote-unquote inconveniences that come, like, in your life when you have small children that, like, make you tired or just irritated or just, like, because, like, kids cause you, like, you just have to slow down. Things take a lot longer than they do without doing them with kids. And after a busy day, those are things that tend to irritate me. But, like, I'm mad that they irritate me because they're little. And, like, they're not going to be little for long. And sometimes I do pretty well, I think, at being patient. But other times when I'm not patient, oof. Oof.
Yeah.
Not patient. And then, yeah, that poem makes me sad for myself. Because I'm missing out in those moments when I get irritated on what's currently in front of me. And I sort of take it for granted. But luckily, I mean, with working full time now, I obviously have less time with them, which is also very sad. But I think I enjoy my time around them. Well, no, I don't enjoy my time around them more, because I still enjoy it regardless. But I think I appreciate it more, just because now that I know that I only have so much time a day with them before they go to sleep or I go to sleep, puts things in perspective.
Yeah. I initially made me want to save the poem and keep it for later, because it's a good reminder that the little things matter, that the time that we spend with our children is precious, because they're only this age once.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've been doing a really good job lately.
I agree.
About just being with them, having fun with them, making every day sort of special in a way, doing little things that August thinks are so funny or so cool. He asked for an apple the other day, and I decided just to juggle it before I gave it to him. And that was pretty funny. Just a bunch of, like, baseball juggling tricks. And then I tossed it to him by flicking it off of my elbow. That's just a small example. Just because our life has been so busy, like, for so long.
Uh-huh.
And so many changes. And I know I talked about this a little bit with you the other day. Just so many changes so fast in our life. And so quickly, without really much time to, like, sit back and breathe. And it's one of the regrets I actually have, but I have it written down on my phone. The importance of, or the danger that comes with not embracing the moment and living your best life, no matter where you are right now. This is what I wrote down. I said, I think that we should have been more intentional with our time that we had before we became parents. For example, that we should have spent our last times as a couple. And this was right before Charlie was born. And I went out of my way to like do individual things with us and August. And I pointed them out every time we did them. Like, oh, this is our last time we're going to go out to eat with just August. Like, we're going to go out to breakfast with just August. And like, this is the last time that we're going to be at the zoo with just August. Because I think pointing those things out really helps you focus.
Yeah.
At least it helps me focus. So I think that's a universal truth. Really like verbalizing and visualizing like this is the last moment this is going to happen really helps me embrace the moment. Another thing that I've been doing is very similar, like along that vein, is every time I get August out of the tub after bath time, I shake him in the air to like shake off the excess water, which he still thinks is funny every time. But then I wrap him up in his towel and I still hold him like a baby. And he's not a baby anymore. He's 36 pounds and like nearly 4 foot tall. But then I hold him in both my arms and I like give him a kiss on the cheek and squeeze him really tight. Because I don't know when I'm going to go to do that. And he's just going to say, no, dad, or squirm away. Or he'll just be too heavy, too big for me to really lift him up like that. And it helps a lot. It's really slowed life down, which is a thought that you had like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that some you saw someone's thought online about, if you're able to embrace the moment, live in the moment, and not reach out for something in the future so often and so quickly, you actually like life slows down and you get to see those moments happening rather than looking back and thinking like, oh, why didn't anyone tell me that those were the good old days?
Mm-hmm.
That we were in the good old days, that we were experiencing the good old days. And I felt all those feelings again when I read that poem, knowing that sometimes a dirty house is fine because toys everywhere meant you had a really fun afternoon.
Right. Yeah.
Those are my big thoughts there.
No, you've been doing a great job, and I think I want to be also doing a good job. I think I can get there about making my time after work more efficient, but I think I'm still in a transition period of trying to figure out when I'm going to get home exactly, like how long it's going to take to feed everybody and then move from there.
Yeah.
And then hopefully get a little bit more consistent, because right now, at least today, was another change, right, with Charlie going to daycare, so I didn't know how long it was going to take us to get home. Or today was just a weird day, honestly, with work. But
yeah,
especially after not seeing the kids like all day every day, I really want us to create some time as a family to do something fun, especially before we put August to bed. I think that will be really important, because it's said that the two most like important moments in the like your child's life, like every day, is the first interaction you have with them when they first wake up in the morning, and the last interaction you have with them before they go to bed. And it's been people have been doing some studies lately, and I don't know, I can't reference the person off the top of my head or where I saw it, but just 10 minutes of just like one-on-one undivided attention a day with your kid, like doing something that like your kid shows interest in and like wants to do, that means like everything. You don't have to do, I mean, obviously you can, but you don't have to do anything more than that and to have like a great impact on like their day. And I think that's super important for parents, like especially ones now, since like I see the perspective from someone who works out at the house, that like, okay, as long as I can like give him like 10 minutes of like all of my love, all of my attention, like all of my time, like he's going to feel like that like unconditional love from me, and then like therefore like I've done my best, like, for the day. where like previously, like I was home with him all day, every day. So I probably had like five amounts of those 10-minute intervals every day, you know, but I don't have that anymore. And it makes me sort of sad.
I think a big excuse that people make is they quickly refer to how much time that they have in a day. But there was a very important story that I have from when I was a missionary in Brazil. One of my fellow missionaries that I served with had an unfortunate health scare while he was on his mission, where his digestive tract stopped working. So he started rapidly losing weight because his digestive tract or his digestive system wasn't absorbing the nutrients that he was getting from his food. So he had to be flown home. And for those who aren't familiar with how the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints missions work, I think we've explained it before, but we sign up as 18, 19-year-old kids to go and serve as missionaries away from home for 2 full years, and we don't return. So the fact that this missionary got sent home in the middle of his mission was a big deal. And he ended up spending nearly a year at home. But fortunately for him, once it all got sorted out and they were able to give him proper medication, they sent him back onto the mission in the same location. And by that time, I had arrived and had been serving for quite some time there. And we were sitting around in an apartment with me, him, another missionary who had been out for a similar time as I had, and then a brand new missionary. And this brand new missionary was Brazilian, so he's talking a million miles an hour, just about how excited he is to be there, how excited he is to learn, how to be a better missionary, but just felt like the mission was going so slow. He talked about how slow it was going. And he just didn't know how he was going to make it 2 full years with how slow the mission was moving. And I was right about in the middle of mine, so I went, well, Elder, it does speed up. Elder is the title that we use for missionaries. I said, it does speed up, but for me, it still moves pretty slow. But that's just because if you fill your time with the work, then you've got stuff to do. And then another missionary who had a little bit more time than me said, oh, by the time you hit a year and 6 months, the last 6 months will fly by. And then you had this other missionary who has been on his mission for essentially like 3 years, and he's been quiet the whole time. And finally, I just look at him and I go, Elder, you seem pretty quiet. You've had a very unique mission experience. Like, you've been out here for almost 3 years now as a missionary. Like, how does time move for you? And he looked at all three of us and he just said, Elders, every day has 24 hours. It doesn't move any faster, any slower. Every day is 24 hours. And that was the end of the conversation. But I've thought about that many times because everybody has the same amount of time. If you're looking at somebody else and you're comparing yourself to them, which everybody has their opinion about comparison, but I think that it has its place. If you're comparing yourself to someone else and you're thinking like, oh, they're so lucky. Like, it just seems like they have so much time to spend with their kids. They don't. They have the same exact time as you. Mm-hmm. We all have 24 hours. It's just how you spend it. And I get angry with you sometimes and pretty upset.
With me?
Yeah. Because you'll say like, no, I have to get these things done.
I know.
I have to get these things done. And I just think to I think to myself every time I say, no, you don't. It's something that you've put in your head that you have to get these things done to relax. You have to get these things done to relax. And the truth is you don't. Because there's other people in the world, like me, who are perfectly able, and this comes through change. This isn't a personality thing. It's not a I was born this way thing. Like, this is who I am. It's just change, and change is hard. Right. But in order to be a good parent, you have to sacrifice a little bit of yourself. And I think that's what people outside of any caring relationship cannot understand without having that type of responsibility. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying specifically parents, but like in a relationship where you are directly in charge of caring for another human, like another human being, you cannot understand that feeling of sacrifice when you have to put your own priorities, your own feelings aside to give this person your undivided attention.
We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you guys.
And like you said, you're like an expert in the field of child development. Like, you've studied a lot about it. You have basically have a degree in it. So like, you know, and you've read these studies. So it's that 10 minutes, like everyone has 10 minutes. Right. Everyone can sacrifice 10 minutes.
Right.
Just like put the broom down, put the sponge down, put the phone away, and just spend time with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's that easy. And that's why people get so frustrated, because it is very easy.
Right.
But then you'll start to make more excuses again. You'll find something to make an excuse. Well, if only I had more money to take my kids. If only I had more time. If only I didn't have to work so much. I guarantee you, you've got 10 minutes. Everybody has 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has the same 24 hours. It's just comes down to how you spend it. Which is a hard truth to accept.
Right.
Another lesson I learned while on my mission was from a very wise leader in our church, who said, the actions that we take define the contents of our character and the desires of our heart. So you can have all the good intentions in the world to be the best father, to be the best mother, to be the best brother, to be the best sister in the world, to be the best friend that you can be to your other friends. You can have the best intentions in the world to do those things. But if you do not act, if you do not do the things that which you desire, then you don't truly desire them.
Yeah.
And that's just a hard truth to accept. That's right. A truth. Like, I'm not trying to bash people. I'm just trying to point out the obvious,
right?
And that it is simple. It's as simple as that, to just simply say, I'm not prioritizing my children. But that's a hard thing to say.
It is. Because it makes you sound like a bad parent.
Right. This is something I'm learning from Brené Brown right now. She's talking in her book that I'm reading called Dare to Lead, and I actually read this book, this section last night. It's about shame. And she goes in a whole section about the difference between guilt and shame. And that we feel, because people will interchange those things so often, but they're not the same thing. Guilt and shame are not the same thing. So shame leads to an inflated ego, because you try and make up for the fact that you're a bad person, which is the way that you think of it. And she says that the difference between guilt and shame is that guilt did a bad thing, but that if you feel shame, you feel that you're a bad person.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to put anybody in a shameful spot to say that you're a bad person, because you're not. Because if you're truly thinking about these things, then you have a desire to be a better person. And that, then you're not a bad parent.
Right.
If you're trying to do the best that you can for your kids, you're the best parent that you can be right now. But that doesn't mean you won't feel guilty.
Right.
But the best thing about guilt is that you can change it. So embrace the moment.
Yeah. I was thinking about this at some point in my day today. I don't remember when I was thinking about this. But I was thinking because, when I get home from work, I get so uptight. I do, because I'm like, oh, I got to do all these things, blah, 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 blah. And that's because that, like, when I was home all day, I just spread them out throughout my day so that I didn't have to do them. But now it's like, okay, I come home and I have this like big to-do list. It's not that serious.
No.
And I know it's not that serious. So I'm going to challenge myself to not do those things until August is in bed and Charlie is fed and bathed, because what time is it? It's not even 8 o'clock yet, and we're already in free time. It's like 2 hours later. And I mean, even though I wake up at 4 and should be going to bed at 9, I realistically don't go to bed until 10. So I basically have until 10 o'clock to do all the stuff that I need to for the day.
Yeah.
That's strictly just chores or whatever needs done, since I do all of my like personal goals in the wee hours of the early morning. So
you beat the sun up.
Yeah.
You work harder than the sun.
So I do not have to do those things immediately after coming home from work. Instead, I can just focus on doing the essentials, which is preparing dinner, which with our prep that we do during the weekends should not take longer than 10 minutes.
Right.
Being able to sit down as a family for at least 5 minutes with August now.
Yeah.
Obsession with being done immediately. And then, yeah, we finish food and we can go hang out. Or depending on what time it is, because if we don't get home until 5:30, wait until August's done and then we pause our dinner. We go hang out with August and then we finish our dinner.
Right.
Alone.
And that's going to be a hard sacrifice for you.
I know.
You love to eat when you're hungry.
I know. But I need to do a better job on my part because right now I've only been eating lunch while at work and like no snacks. And then when I get home, I'm absolutely like ravishing.
Yeah.
That's not the right word. Is that the right word?
Famished.
Famished. Ravishing is like a compliment, isn't it? Like, oh, you look ravishing, isn't it?
I don't know.
What's the word I'm thinking of? No, maybe not, because like ravenous is when you're so hungry. Like you'd do anything to eat. Yeah, anyways, maybe. That's how I feel when I get home. I feel like I could eat anything and everything and like nothing would be enough.
Yeah.
So I need to do a better job of packing, at least, or maybe keeping snacks in the car that I can just eat on my way home from work. Right. That way I'm like calm and can wait and be patient, which is...
Yeah.
A very hard P word for me.
Yeah, I just wanted to finish on a lighter note and talk about our questions, and we can sort of goof around with that. We're not going to mention the name of the app on here, because I'm going to try and see if we can partner with them for a couple episodes. So we won't blow up the app now. But for now, we're just going to use a quiz that we took today. They asked us about our five favorite things. Well, it's just called favorite things, so it's not our five most favorite things, but it gave us like four choices, options, yeah. And we were supposed to pick the choice that we thought our partner was going to pick for themselves.
Yeah, would most likely pick if that was their option.
And I had to really focus to make sure that I selected the options that would best fit me and not try and like... fool Taylor. I had to be like, no, which one does she think I'm going to do, but also be truthful. And I think it worked because she got 4 out of 5.
Wait, so you answered thinking like in the mindset of like, oh, this is what she's gonna pick for me?
Not like wholeheartedly.
Okay, but like, I tried to like pick like, no, like I would legitimately like pick like, if these are my two options, this is what I think I would choose. I didn't think about what I thought you were gonna pick.
Right. Yeah. So in the end, I did choose what I would actually choose.
Okay.
But I know that like I was taking it, I was like, oh, which one does she think I'm going to pick? Then I would answer. But when I thought like, oh, which one does she think I'm going to pick? I'd usually get narrowed down to two and I would pick the one that I really did pick. She got 4 out of 5. I got 2 out of 5. So read the first question, because I think we both got it right.
Yeah. Okay. It's movie night. Which would your partner pick? Oh, it won't let me see the choices though.
I remember it. The first option was The Hangover. The second option,
The Lord of the Rings.
The third option was How Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
And the fourth option was 28 Days Later. Which I didn't know what 28 Days Later was.
I didn't
was.
Know either. I just assumed it was about a pregnancy or something.
Nah, it's a horror film.
Oh, just kidding.
About like post-apocalyptic. But I looked that up. I was like, oh, definitely not that one. So I selected The Hangover. And Taylor selected How Harry Met Sally. And I didn't know if 28 Days Later was like a chick flick. So I had to look it up. And I was like, oh, horror film, definitely not. All right. So we both got that one right. I don't think we need to discuss it.
No.
What's number two?
A fire breaks out. Which would your partner grab?
The first option was...
like, well, one was a passport. Your passport.
Yeah, the first one was a passport. The second one was fire extinguisher. The third one was family photos. And then the fourth one... So your cell phone?
No, it wasn't anything electronic. Oh, the plants.
Oh,
yeah.
The plants, which is funny. I selected the fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Because I want to put the fire out.
Right. And I knew that you were going to pick that. Yeah. So that's what I put for you, too.
And Taylor's was the family photos. I knew it. I knew it.
So
she would,
funny.
She would just see the fire and be like, well, house is screwed. Let me grab the family right. photos.
Well, we all know that I'm terrible in emergency situations anyways. So my first thought in an emergency probably would not be to solve the emergency, yeah. unfortunately.
Anyways, we both got that one right, too. So we'll move on to the third one because this is when I start
missing. Oh, this is funny. Congratulations. You and your partner win a free gift. Which does your partner pick?
Yeah. So one of the choices was a vacation. One of the choices was a new car. One of the choices was just money.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the fourth one.
I think it was like shopping.
Oh, no. A spa day.
Oh, a spa day.
A spa day was the fourth option. I chose a vacation because the bigger our family gets, the more expensive vacations get. And it's just like a hassle.
Yeah.
To like plan a vacation. But it's like we've gone on two somewhat all-inclusive vacations in our life. One was to Disney World and the second one was a cruise. And like I had a really good time on those.
Yeah, that's nice. Also not cheap.
Also not cheap, but they're really nice. And if we were winning a free gift, we were That's winning true. The vacation. I was like, vacation. So I, for Taylor, also chose vacation because I thought like, oh, she's never not planning a vacation.
That's true.
Like whenever we get off of a vacation, it'll like be 2 weeks later. She's like, you know what else we should do? We should do this. And in the case of the cruise, it was even worse. Like we were on the cruise and she was like, next summer we should go on another
cruise.
Yeah,
I was trying to book the next cruise while we were still on the boat. Ship.
So that's why I was like, oh, she's definitely taking the free vacation because she loves like just exploring new places. But you picked a new car.
I did.
Did you pick a new car?
Well, and I thought you were gonna do a new car too. Well, I thought about a new car because I was thinking about our like needs right now. So I was like, oh, like we need a new car. Like if this was an option today, I'd pick a new car because like it would make things easier like in the morning. So like I'm not taking both kids like here or there. You could like split it, you know. So I was like, oh, car. 100%. But like I do love me a vacation. Yeah. So I would probably pick a vacation.
Yeah. A 3 asterisk. See, I didn't think about any of these questions as a like right here, right now.
Oh, I did. Thing.
I was like, oh, no one's giving me anything free right now. Yeah. So I'm just gonna idealize this moment. Pick what I truly want.
Yeah. But yes, a vacation that would be very nice, an all-inclusive vacation to Europe. Can you imagine?
That would be quite the win.
Quite the price tag. It's a brand new year. Which season is your partner most excited about?
So obviously no, it's
so funny because
it's the seasons, right? So like it's either winter, spring, summer, or fall. And I was like, okay, I love winter because even in Florida, like we still get sort of a winter where right. it cools down. I don't sweat so much.
Yeah, you're not sweating all day every day.
And it's just really comfortable to like just be in Florida when it's nice and cool during the winter. Yeah. And even like some of my greatest passions happen during the winter. So snowboarding, the Olympics, X Games, all that stuff, all during the winter. So yes, I look forward to the winter. That's what I chose. That's what Taylor chose for me. And then
the shocker.
Yeah, the surprise twist at the end. I chose fall because literally we're in the dog days of summer and this woman's pulling out the pumpkin filling to be like baking pumpkin bread and like baking or like asking me to look up new pumpkin recipes so that we can like smell it, and like nutmeg is out, and like we're just like she's getting so excited for fall, loves Halloween, like can't wait to like go carve pumpkins, loves sweater weather, and like during the summer you're just like, why is it so hot, it's so hot, I'm sweating so much, it's so hot. When I saw Summer, I was like in a state of disdain. I was like, this is bull.
No, no, it's funny because after I saw your answer and yeah, I saw that you picked fall, I'm like, oh, he is right. Fall is my favorite. But like, I love summer. I think what set me off, because I think winter was like listed first or something. And so my like thought process was like, oh, winter, I hate being cold. I hate being cold. And then I was like, fall, and I'm like, oh, cold. And I was like, oh, I like summer. Summer, you're not cold. Yeah. Which, like, I'd rather be hot and sweating than cold.
Right, but you're not cold during the fall because you get all bundled up. You
I know.
Get, like, your sweater's out. You've got, like, 19 different beanies.
I know. And, yeah, I do love me some fall. Although, like, fall in Florida is sort of, like, non-existent.
It's, like, 3.5 weeks.
Yeah, and it's, like, basically winter time at that point.
So another asterisk next to my four. I got like two, but really I got four. What's the fifth question?
The last one is a precious day off. What's your partner's favorite thing to do?
Yeah. So one of them was binge watching television. One was completing all that home tasks. One was go exploring. And then the fourth
was like a couch potato.
Yeah, it was like a couch potato, so just like absolutely nothing. Taylor's impatient, so she hates doing absolutely nothing. She gets bored.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I gotta go do something.
Yeah, even when I sit on the couch, I'm like doing something. I'm either folding the laundry or doing the dishes. Well, folding laundry from the couch, yes.
Yeah.
But now in our kitchen, I can do dishes and watch the TV.
Yes, that's true. So I picked go exploring because I like to just get out of the house and do something.
Yeah.
Taylor got that one right.
But that's what I also chose for myself.
Right.
But because I also like to get out of the house and go explore.
Yeah.
But I also like to get everything done on Saturdays.
Yeah. Which is the one that I chose.
And I do that first before we do anything else on Saturday morning. We have to get all the things done or else I'm sort of annoying.
Yeah. And I guess I just thought to myself about the here and now. That's where I made the mistake. I was idealizing again. Thinking to myself, like, oh, what is the perfect moment for this? Anyway, so Taylor crushed me. Sort of asterisk next to that.
Right.
Until the end of time.
I just don't think about things long enough.
Yeah. The app is cool. If you're really desperate and looking for something to build extra connection with your partner, just reach out to us on any social platform, send them some message, and we'll get back to you. It's a really cool app, and it sets you up with like a little profile. You get paired with your partner. They have a free version to the app, but they also have a premium version for $7 a month.
But you need the premium version in order to see your guys' results. So in order to like really take advantage of the app. So it sort of sounds like from our conversation earlier that we're just going to do the premium version.
Yeah, probably.
Because then we can use it while we're at work and still sort of connect, even though realistically we won't have an actual alone adult conversation until like 8 o'clock at night.
Right. But anyways, what I was trying to say is that if you're desperate, just reach out to us on social media. We'll give you the name of the app. If not, hopefully here in a couple weeks, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 weeks, we'll have a partnership with this company. Anything else you need to say, Taylor?
I don't think so.
Welcome back to another episode of Young and in Love. I'm Josh.
And I'm Taylor. And we're sick.
Everybody's sick.
Yeah, but it's my fault.
Taylor started her new job at the kindergarten development center that she's working at now, and immediately got sick from the kids.
Like, yep.
The first week of daycare, we were thrown into true, true daycare life. So,
had to start taking our vitamins again, pumping the zinc and the vitamin C and the multivitamin. And hope that after this cold that we'll be spared for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't start cycling around like they always tell us it does. But that's what we're getting over in our life. Today we're going to talk about a couple things that we saw over the week. I have a poem that I was really touched by. I like poems. I think they're nice reminders of the simple things in life, things to focus on, and every time I read them, I have the same reaction I had the first time I read them. So I like to keep just a little pocket of poems ready to go. Taylor, did you prepare something as well?
Oh shoot, was I supposed to?
I asked you to, but I guess you didn't.
Oh, no, I thought about stuff because you said the poem was about embracing the moment. So I was thinking about how I try to embrace the moment, like in our life, in our relationship. But honestly, with today's work schedule, that's all I had time for.
Yeah.
It was sort of crazy.
But we also filled out like a little cute quiz. So we'll probably go over those answers too, because we haven't talked about them yet. Taylor smoked me. Did you see the results?
I did. Yeah. I looked it up.
So we'll go over it. You guys will get to argue on who knows who better. Does Taylor know herself better than Josh knows her? That's the debate that'll come to.